You're tuning in to the Moss LeRae Show.
Purpose is more so allowing God's will to be done.
We need to give our kids and our young people the opportunity to dream to be kings and queens.
My identity isn't in what I do, but it's in who I am.
I'm your host, Alicia LeRae Ellis. Never miss a beat. Stay mic'd up with Moss LeRae.
Welcome to the Moss LeRae Show. I'm your host, Alicia Ellis, and I have two very special guests here at the Cleveland International Film Festival, Pedro and Seth from Unseen Film, premiering here in Cleveland. How are you both doing today?
I am feeling grateful.
Fantastic and very grateful.
Awesome. Well, officially welcome to Cleveland.
Thank you, Alicia.
Yes.
Thanks.
Absolutely. And congratulations on your film. And then you had an award that you all won yesterday, too. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So why don't you go ahead and just give us a summary? I had the pleasure of watching the film. So I want you all to give a summary of the film for our viewers.
Sure. The initial intention for the film was an exploration in the intersectionality of immigration, disability, and mental health. But throughout the process, it became more like an intimate conversation between two friends who just wanted to continue with their healing process and, I don't know, make sense a little bit more about their lives.
Yeah, it was amazing. Do you want to add anything to that?
For sure. I think maybe just to piggyback off of what Pedro said, we also were very thoughtful about who our audience is for the film. And we really wanted to ensure accessibility for our communities is at the heart of our film. So the film kind of has this experimental cinematography to invite audiences to watch a movie by listening, as opposed to just leaning into visual information to make sense of what they're experiencing on screen.
Yeah, it was amazing overall. And I thought that the story that evolved between the two of you as friends was really impactful. Can you share kind of that experience? It was 6 years or 7 years in the making. Can you share what that experience was, like developing this friendship, kind of this brotherhood between the two of you?
Sure. It was so interesting because I feel that in some other circumstances, some other instances, the participants are the ones who are requested, and sometimes I feel even coerced to be vulnerable. So it's kind of hard to actually see that the person behind the camera is willing to be as vulnerable. Mm. So to create that bond, in order to create that, and also by creating that bond, you have this safe space when you can be yourself and just have things flow.
Yeah, that's awesome. How was it kind of having someone follow you around for that long? What was that experience like?
Honestly, it was just more like hanging out with a friend.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, pretty much we were hanging out as friends.
We're still hanging out now.
Yeah.
That's great. And what about your experience kind of on the other side of sharing this story and this friendship developing, you know, over the years?
For sure. I think for me, like what Pedro said in the beginning, I was approaching it from a place of advocacy because my background is in community organizing, as I mentioned in the film. But then I realized that I think somewhere along the line, first of all, we stopped filming for 4 years. So even though we filmed for 7 years, we started filming in May 2016 and then summer 2017. But then from fall of 2017 until pretty much November 2021, we weren't filming for 4 years. And I think it was during the pandemic, you know, where we kind of got reconnected on an emotional level, maybe, you know, because so much was happening in the pandemic and we were all just at home, you know, and it felt like something was nudging us to keep on moving forward with bringing the project to a new chapter and maybe a new understanding of what the story is. I think also I've come to realize, like what Pedro says, when well-meaning filmmakers who are from a certain status of privilege come into a community to tell stories, it's like got this saviorist mentality, for lack of better words, like, let me help you, let me save you.
Right.
That's why I want to tell your story. But I think what I came to realize instead is I was actually also learning a lot from Pedro, you know, and being in community with him was just a really important part of my journey as a person also. And I think being open to that realization and recognizing that, you know what, I have just as much to learn from Pedro. Let me be vulnerable and open to that and let the process continue.
Yeah, and you felt that throughout the film. And I wanted to kind of dive a little deeper, Pedro, in your experience, first generation college student, right? The immigration time that was happening in America at this moment, part of your recording of the film, but also the challenges it is that you face with your disability to continue persevering through to say, I'm going to get my degree no matter what. Can you talk a little bit about what that journey has been like for you?
Yes, I feel that the best way that I have to describe it is I fall into the cracks, but upward. What I mean by this, yes, I was working hard. I was trying to do my best. But at the same time, I have many colleagues who are way more, they were more intelligent, with more credentials, whatever. But if someone is working hard, but the opportunities are not there, there is just so far that it can go. Mm-hmm. So I was very fortunate to have a beautiful community behind me and very lucky to have the mentors that I have, because so they were the ones who took me under their wings and guide me and support me through the process. Because without that guidance, without that support, without just having someone believing in me, I wouldn't have accomplished what I was able to accomplish. So I feel that it was more like, I do believe that it does take a village to raise a child, and my experience, my life is a testament of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And a child, and also an adult, right? It's a continuation of life, because these mm-hmm. things that when you're breaking through those generational cycles of being first year, like, you still need that support. I can definitely relate as being a first year graduate myself and seeing like, wow, there's a reason why no one else has done this, the trials and the tribulations. Can you talk about that support a little bit? I know that the film also mentions like your guys' faith and kind of that piece too. Can you talk a little bit about what that meant to you and what that means to you?
I feel that there's a lot of parallels between the film and my life and our lives, just because sometimes I feel that, for instance, my degree, me becoming a social worker, is not a path that I chose. I was just put into the path. So it was just like this magic hand being, in a way, allowing me or putting me into the right direction, per se, even though that sometimes I try to veer away from it. I was constantly like if there was like bumpers, on the line, so I cannot visually. It will be hard for me to move away from that direction, and just having those that guidance from my parents, from the community, from my mentors, allow me to be in the path that I am.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I didn't have them, I don't know if I would have. If I would be what I am.
Yeah. It is just a testament of the importance of community, whether it's family, friends, colleagues, mm-hmm. People who are just looking out for you. What about for you, Seth? I mean, your inspiration on sticking this out and seeing this through, why? What's become your why over time?
Juicy question, Alicia. That is you know what? I have no idea, to be honest. You know, part of the reason why it took, we didn't film for 4 years and I kind of gave up, you know, and actually during those 4 years, like, I think there was one time I visited Pedro, like where he lives, and I didn't bring up the project because I was like so embarrassed, like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I did all of that with you and don't even have a film to show. This was like 2019, I think, before the pandemic, you know, but I didn't tell him anything because I just wanted to say hi, you know, as a friend. Part of the reason for pausing and the hiatus is because, being an undocumented immigrant myself, I was not eligible to apply for a lot of grant-making opportunities. And even though there are all these philanthropic organizations that, you know, fund filmmakers, you have to be a citizen or a resident. And just because of my immigration status, you know, our project was like automatically excluded regardless of its merits. You know, so it just shows you like what the structural barriers that Pedra was facing as a student, you know. It's like pretty much also the same reason. But like I was saying, you know, it's almost like the film wanted to get made, you know, like, and the film also wanted to find its path into the world. Like last year, for example, and to this day, to this moment, to my understanding, distribution for independent films are so difficult. Yet we're so lucky, like to be, you know, to be able to get distribution, you know, through PBS, you know, have a national broadcast, you know, and also have educational distribution. Like people all over the country are seeing Pedra's story, you know, and like why us and why this project? Like sometimes like it's hard to not feel like this sense of survivor's guilt. We were just talking about this yesterday, you know, but it's almost like our ancestors, our community is choosing us to like do something with this opportunity. And the best that we can do is make the most of it so that other people can also find something in the story that Pedro's sharing with us.
Thank you so much, you know, just for that, because it's so important. And I think that there's so many things that I have a couple of quotes that I wrote down too from the film I want to bring up. But that immigration story, because of how fragmented and sensitive it is, it's not always told. There is a part that, you know, I listened to the Q&A you had the other day about someone who asked how you selected some of the blurred scenes in the film. And one of your responses was based upon people and not wanting to disclose some of the immigration challenges. Right. So I think that just puts this film in such a different perspective of where we're at as a society. What do you hope people kind of take away, I guess, from the immigration standpoint of this film specifically?
Yeah, I can start off with that. And I'm sure Pedro also probably would have more to add about it. I should say that when I first started making the film, a lot of the reason for the aesthetic choices of the film, like I said, is about accessibility. The only audience member that I had in mind, I wanted to please, you know, was actually Pedro. Right. I wanted Pedro to like watch the film and be able to tell me, Seth, you understand who I am. You made a film about me. This is about me. But the only way he can do that is if he gets to enjoy the film, access it in a really evocative, enjoyable way. And I'm saying this because people who share Pedro's experiences being undocumented, you know, both of us, you know, and also have a disability, like, our communities are rarely thought of as primary audiences for cinema, you know. And I think for me, maybe that's also part of the reason why I wanted to make sure that the film sees the light of day, for lack of better words, is because I want to speak to our community. You know, like there's often like this trope of pity and like sympathy, like feel bad for us, you know, like that's kind of imbued in narratives about our communities. But instead, when Unseen, what we really want to, what I would say for me, I want to do is I want to remind our communities that we don't need anyone's pity. We're complicated, we're beautiful, we're powerful. And how can we understand our own humanity, you know, by reflecting our experiences through Pedro's life? It's just also really a great blessing that when we focus on the humanity that Pedro inherently has in the film, that regardless of a person's background, they can still find something in the story. And that's just been really, really meaningful and powerful. I don't know, Pedro, do you want to share anything else about that? So what do you want people to take away from the film too?
I feel that two things now. Going back to me, is just the celebration of community and like the idea that social environment matters a lot, and how providing support to someone can make a big difference in their lives. And second, the celebration of the complexity of the human experience. Mm. Because no matter who we are, we all, in some way or another, experience the same feelings. We have all feel despair. We have all feel hopelessness. We have all feel excitement, happiness, love. So I believe that trying to, because I feel that, unfortunately, we live in a very polarized world right now. So we are so focused on our differences. And I feel that one of the things that we wanted to put forward is the idea was like, we might have more similarities and differences if we actually take a closer look.
Yeah, definitely. And I felt that there's a part in the film where it's like you're ready to give up, right? And I have been there, even when you're talking about just getting the degree as a whole. But we have a saying here where you pull yourself up by the bootstraps, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know how much I believe that or not, but mm-hmm. there's a part that's so empowering in the film where you start to exercise. You start to practice swimming, biking, running. Can you talk about the element of the mental health for you of wanting to give up, not just on pursuing your degree, but on life in general, to like finding that time where it's like you're in the ocean and you're swimming, and how beautiful it was for us as the viewers to watch that. And like, I'm like cheering you on, like, no, you can do it. Like, you can finish. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. You want to go?
No, you go.
Okay. Thank you. I feel that what it gave me is just an ability to take all that anger, all that frustration, all that despair in a more constructive manner. And it happened out of, it's not something that I was looking for. It's something that fell into my lap. Mm-hmm. What I mean by this, for the longest times, one of the things that was the most difficult for me when I lost my sight is that sense of independence. And also because of my constant mental health struggles, it's just also feeling like trapped, feeling suffocated. So I remember one day talking to one of my best friends, actually, she's in the film. I was telling her about, she's also blind, and I was telling her about how I was feeling. So, and she told me that she found this organization that was helping her to be more outdoors, that they were running with her on a weekly basis. So, and she was sharing with me that when she was running, she felt this sensation of freedom. She felt that for a second, her problems paused, and that she was one with nature and one with the other person. And for once, it was not her, the blind lady, it was just a group of runners. She was one of them. So that was very enticing for me. But I just didn't have the courage or the energy to participate. So it was not until she mentioned it a few more times and she kind of pushed me into it that I allowed myself to give to try it out. And honestly, that was a life changer for me. So since the first time that I started running with them, it changed my life forever, just because I finally had that sensation of freedom, that ability just to focus on one step at a time. Because with someone who suffers from high anxiety, sometimes you just live in your head at all times and you're just constantly looking for the imaginary tiger that is constantly like behind you. So you're always in the lookout. But when I'm running, it's just like everything pauses and I'm able to focus on only going one step at a time.
Wow.
So to me, that was pretty much, she saved my life.
That's beautiful. Wow. Thank you for sharing that, because it's so important. You know, we all face different things in our journey, in our life. And I can imagine, and I know you mentioned that you weren't always without sight. So that process, I really can't imagine to try to figure out what does freedom look like for me now, and how that is like a day-by-day choice mm-hmm. of finding and seeking. So thank you for just being vulnerable and sharing your story, because not only for people with disabilities, but just people in general going life to life, that or day-to-day in life, this type of inspiration and vulnerability is so needed to understand that we all have things that we can relate to for one another. So it's amazing. I appreciate you you sharing that. I'm curious to see how you guys, your family has reacted to the film, your friends on both sides, or Seth and Pedro, to see the film and to be a part of that journey with you. What has been their reaction so far?
You want to go ahead, Pedro? I mean, it's your family.
Okay. My parents, it's just the three of us. My parents and I don't have any siblings. So to them, seeing the fruit of the efforts, I've seen that the efforts in a way paid off. It has been a beautiful experience. And if it wasn't for them, probably I would not have participated in the distribution part of it, because I'm a very reserved person. So, but just seeing them, like sometimes inviting them to the screenings and just seeing their, sensing their expressions of how proud they are and how much love they have for the project, for Seth, for myself, and seeing that everything that they did was not in vain. It's just priceless to me.
Yeah, because they also had to be very vulnerable too. I mean, letting cameras in your home and in your personal life, into your son's life, who you tried to protect by any means necessary. So I can imagine how emotional. And said, this is also your first film.
It's her first film. That's right.
So, what's been your family's or your inner circles and your community's response to this project?
For sure, I should say my family actually also worked on the film. Wow. You know, and it's a whole family effort, because that's what you do when you're an independent filmmaker. You know, and I was telling Pedro this. You know, since last fall, I wake up every day just feeling so, like, I wake up. Sometimes, of course, like, I'm annoyed when I wake up. But, like, often, like, when I wake up, I'm like, the first thought that comes to my mind is, wow, I'm so blessed and grateful. It's actually not because of the film only, but it's mostly because I feel so surrounded by love from my friends and my family and my community. And the reason I feel that way is because it started really when we were at a screening of our film, and then my siblings were there, and they were like, I don't even often have resources to pay them, but they're like just there helping me for, like, because I want to believe that because they care about me and they love me, you know. And I feel like maybe that's actually one of the things that we also want to, you know, want people to take away from the film. You know, like, how can we open up ourselves to love, you know? Like, because I feel like sometimes when we guard ourselves, when we put our guards up to protect ourselves, totally valid, you know, because that's what who we are as human beings, to protect ourselves, considering how shitty the world is. I don't know if I can cuss.
You're okay.
Okay, great. You know, but I'm like, oh. But, you know, like, I think when we put our guard up to protect ourselves, we don't let the fear in. We don't let anything in, including love. You know, but I think maybe our film, we kind of just invite people to, like, what if we lower our guard down? Maybe we'll allow everything in, the pain, of course, the challenges, but also the opportunity to ask for help. And to remember that we're loved by people who care about us. And I feel like that's been a real experience that I've had also, sharing the film with our community, and the way my own family and Pedro's family adopting me into their family, you know, like as a foster child. I was telling his parents the other day.
I love that. And you could feel, I mean, you felt it. You felt the family. You felt the camaraderie. There's one thing you share in the film, Pedro. We should all have the ability of dreaming about our futures. That resonated so much with me, because a lot of times in our environments where there is so much despair, dreams are not accessible. So what is that quote, what does that really mean for you? We all exhale.
Yes. I feel that sometimes thinking about a future is a luxury. Because sometimes there are people or there are situations in which you don't even know where your next meal gonna come from. You're not sure if you're gonna be able to pay the bills. if you're going to be able to afford the next semester in college. So I feel that sometimes that doesn't allow you to make plans for too far ahead. So I feel that you're just trying to survive. And sometimes because you're trying to survive, you are hyper-focused just about getting the means to survive, that you forget to live. Wow. You'll forget why you're so desperate trying to get those means. Because having money and paying the bills, that's just a mean. Mm-hmm. What you were doing it is what it gets lost in the process.
Yeah.
Probably you were doing it because you wanted to create a safe environment for your family. You wanted to be at peace. You wanted to, I don't know, be there for the community, whatever it is. But sometimes I feel that at least, and I can only talk about personal experience, that I was sometimes I'm still so hyper-focused about the day-to-day getting the means mm-hmm. that I forget about living.
Yeah. It's amazing perspective, but something that we can all like try to be more conscious about in our day-to-day, and especially how we treat one another. We have no idea what someone else is going through. So I think just having that mindset and that approach and value in life to say, wow, I don't know what they're going through, but how can I show up through love and connecting with someone? So I'm curious on any advice, Pedro, you have for anybody who would be listening and watching this, kind of persevering through and not giving up. Any type of advice that you would be able to share with the audience?
Pedro should have a hotline, social worker hotline.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Nah, thank you so much for the question, but I don't know if I will be able to give an advice to anyone. Sometimes I don't even follow my own advices. But one of the things that I actually was processing with said in the past few days is just being okay with your story, owning your story, and being proud of it, despite the ups and downs, despite the shame. I feel that by you owning your story, shame doesn't like to be seen. So by you owning your story and telling your story, you allow that shame, or you pretty much prevent shame to showing up or get rid of the shame. So wow. I feel that that's one of the things that I was processing with Seth the other day. And I feel that that's what I'm trying to integrate more into my life.
This is the moment where you just drop the mic, right? This is over. I don't know, Seth, what's your advice for anybody who's persevering through working on a project or sharing their story? What would you be able to share with our audience?
Ooh, juicy question, Alicia. And piggybacking off of what Pedro said, I think in the film industry, we are often, or just the industry, the life, you know, in general, we're kind of all expected to show our strongest selves 100% of the time and prove to other people that, you know, I got this and I know what I'm doing, you know, and like see me so that validate me, you know, so that I can get to the next part of my career. But I think what I've come to realize is actually in the film industry, a lot of, in my experience, like there's a lot of people, you know, including myself, you know, for a long time where, like we're kind of suffering in silence and we're not sharing our experiences with each other, you know? And I feel like the most meaningful experience that I've had navigating the experience of being a filmmaker from a community of different experiences that are often overlooked in the film industry, being Filipino, undocumented, person of color, and queer, you know, is how can I find my people, you know, and be open about my experiences with other filmmakers, hearing their experiences, sharing with each other. Because also there's so much opacity in this industry, you know, and I feel like by not having information, we're gatekeeping ourselves and each other, you know, from like the smallest of resources, you know. And I feel like it's really important for us to be able to lean into our community. This industry, I feel like, only thrives when there's so much secrecy, you know, and how can we remove the gatekeeping? How can we be really mindful that when we're interdependent with each other, you know, as a community of filmmakers, we can find our way to the mountaintop, because that's really the only way together.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. We love to end each episode with a pure message. So for our platform, it's all about a pure message for our generation, shining more light. Mas Lerae means more light. And it's all about shining this light on these type of stories, on a type of curations that we're doing on ourselves and on our communities. So I would love to hear, Pedro, your pure message and your pure message as well, Set. It's also a positive message that you would like to share on our platform.
What's your pure message?
What's your pure message, Pedro?
Oh. Oh, let me think about that one.
You want me to start?
Sure.
I think maybe like to, you know, people have described our film as like a conversation between two friends, you know. And I feel like often we go through life alone or we think we're alone, you know. And how can we like be a friend to each other, you know, hold space for each other, you know, and really let our guard down. And I also want to lift up that I think when we do that, you know, like we don't have to prove that we're worthy. Pedro talks about imposter syndrome, you know, and like having to prove yourself often, you know. And I think I want to remind people that like you're worthy, you know, just as you are. You don't need to prove anything, you know, you're amazing, you know. And I feel like the moment that we remind ourselves that we are worthy and we're enough, you know, I think it can really do changes in the way we think of ourselves.
Yeah.
Yes.
Definitely. That's good. All right, Pedro, how are you going to top that one?
Oh, I guess I just want to piggyback on what he was saying. What I would add is don't take life too serious.
Oh, yes.
I feel that sometimes we don't know what's going to happen. And then one of the things that I've been trying to come to terms with is that we don't know what life has in store for us, and that's okay. We don't need to know. It might be best just to focus on one step at a time and just not resist what is coming to you. Just flow with it. Because the more that we resist it, the more painful it can become.
Wow. That's great. So, I love that. I can definitely see that on like a back of a t-shirt. One step at a time, right? Thank you both so much for joining the show. Any last words that you want to share before we wrap up?
I just want to say gratitude, Alicia, to the whole team
thank you.
Like so legendary. And I'm it's our first time in Cleveland. And it's been such a powerful, welcoming experience. So thank you to all of you.
Thank you so much. Thank you both for joining the show. Again, you guys have been mic'd up with Mas Lerae, and we're signing off. Peace.
Thank you for tuning into the Mas Lerae Show. You can follow us on all social media at Mas Lerae. That's MasLarae. You can also check out our website for more behind-the-scenes content at maslerae.com.